Boker Tov, we are in Melachim Bet, chapter 22, and we are on verse 13. We're on verse 14. So, as we said, Yoshiah begins to renovate the Beit HaMikdash. In the process of renovating the Beit HaMikdash, they find the Chilkiah, the Kohen Gadol, finds a Sefer Torah, he brings it to Shafan, the Sofer. Shafan reads it, and then he reads it before the king, and he says, we're not keeping any of these things. According to the Chachamim, according to Chazal, it was open on the page of the Tochacha, on the page of the rebuke in Parshat Kitavo. So he reads it, and he says, look, these are all the punishments that are going to befall us because we're not keeping any of the Torah. So then, Yoshiah rends his clothes, he rips his clothes, and he tells Chilkiah Kohen, and Achikam, son of Shafan, and Achbor, son of Michayah, and Shafan, the Sofer, and Asayah, servant of the king, saying, go and seek out Hashem, meaning go find a Navi or Neviah on behalf of Yehuda regarding this matter of the Sefer Torah that was found, because God must be very angry at us, and his anger is probably flaring at us that our forefathers have not listened to this word of the Torah and according to what is written in it. Okay, so he says, go seek out the words of a Navi and see what a Navi or Neviah has to say to us. Okay, so they go, in Pasuk 14, they're going to go to Chulda HaNeviah, was a female Neviah. One of the rare incidents of a female Neviah making her presence felt in the Tanakh. Okay? Pasuk Yudal. Vayel Chilkiah HaKohen v'Achikam v'Achbor v'Shafan v'Asaya el Chulda HaNeviah Eshet Shalom ben Tikva ben Charchas Shomer HaBegadim. She was the wife of Shalom, son of Tikva, son of Charchas, the one in charge of the clothes. Probably had a... I don't know what exactly that means. We'll look into the Mefashim. Yoshevet Yerushalayim b'mishneh v'idabru eleha. And she was sitting in Yerushalayim in, like, according to the Mefashim, the study house. B'mishneh. We've come from the word, like, mishnah, to study. And v'idabru eleha. And they spoke to her. Okay, so who is Shalom ben Tikva? Didn't we see Shalom ben Tikva somewhere else?
Don't think so.
I think Shalom ben Tikva...
Shalom sound...
It was there was a character. There was a character. Do you know who Shalom ben Tikva was? Remember the guy that what was the story? It was pretty recently that maybe when Elisha was buried, there was a guy who woke up from the dead.
Yes, but yes.
And then whenever they
check Safari quick.
Yeah. So it's not in the text, but the Chazal said that guy was Shalom ben Tikva.
Okay.
All right. I'm pretty sure that's where we saw it. Okay. I'm just trying to see if any of the here. Okay. So who was Chulda? Let's look at the Likutei Shas. Amar Rab Nachman, Chulda mibnei vanav shel Yehoshua haita. Chulda was a descendant of Yehoshua from his wife Rahav, as you could see in Rashi. Chulda amro abatinu fisha isha merachemet yoter min ha'ish, lekach lo shalach al Yirmiyahu. Yeshomrim Yirmiyahu lo haya sham, shalach lagzir aseret ha'shvatim. The question is, why did they go to a female Neviah when we know that Yirmiyah, the prophet, was also around during this time?
Yeah.
So the answer that because they knew that they were in deep trouble, they went to a woman who would have more rachbanut. Because women tend to be more kind and forgiving. Okay? Let's see. They say she was a descendant of Rahav, the harlot from the story of Yehoshua. I'm surprised it doesn't say Shalom ben Tikva. It doesn't give... None of them, if I shouldn't give the backstory on him, but I'm pretty sure he was the guy that came back to life during the burial of...
If I just go to the search bar in Safari, I can find it if I type in Hebrew?
If you'll find it in a Mamar Chazal, you won't find it in the Psukim. So where was Yirmiyah? Yirmiyah could either, according to the Chachamim, have been trying to bring back the 10 tribes, so he was not even in Israel, or he was just in Anatot, which is a city. He wasn't in Yerushalayim, so they went to the closest Neviah, who happened to be Huldah. Chachamim say that there were three Nevi'im who prophesied during the time of Yoshiyahu: Yirmiyah, Tzfaniyah, and Huldah. And they say Yirmiyahu was mitnabe b'shvakim. He would go to the bazaars. Tzfaniyah b'vatei knesiyot. Tzfaniyah would do in the b'vatei knesset and the kanisas. And Huldah etzel hanashim. And Huldah was typically the prophetess of the women. I'm telling you, if you look up Ben Tikva, can I look at it? I'll let me find it. Ben Tikva in Radak. Shalom Ben here. Ben Tikva. Now I need a filter for just Tanakh commentary. Adak here. Ah, perfect, I found it. Okay. It's from Melachim Bet chapter 13. Why did he come back to life? To say that Elisha had double Eliyahu, because Eliyahu only brought one person back to life. So we want to show that Elisha brought two people back to life. One, he was the son of the Shunammite woman that Elisha brought back to life. And one, in his death, this specific man. And they say that this man also had a child. And he was one of the great righteous people that would do kindnesses every day. What kindnesses would he do? That the Shalom ben Tikva guy who came back to life would give everybody water. That everybody who's thirsty would give them water. And because of the good deeds that the Shalom ben Tikva did, his wife got Ruach HaKodesh. And Amar El Huldah Neviyah Eshet Shalom ben Tikva. To Huldah Neviyah, the wife of Shalom ben Tikva. Uchshemet Gamlu Kol Yisrael Imo Chesed V'yatzu'u Imo Lekofro. And whenever he died, everybody was kind to him and they went out to bury him together.
It's like 200 years has passed. How many years have passed? 150 years, 200 years have passed since that story, no?
I don't know. When was Elisha? We know Elisha was during the time
of...
No, Elisha was after Achav, because we had... Are you saying Yerobam the second?
Yeah.
I don't remember which kings...
Chapter
4, whatever it is, yeah, it's many, many years.
Son of Yoash, king of Dunia, Yoash was king.
It could be 150
years. It's like around 200 years.
It's around 200 years, right? Okay, so that was a long delay just discovering who this Shalom ben Tikva is, but we know that Chazal say he was the guy that came back to life when he was in the place where Elisha was buried. And he was a big tzaddik who would give everybody water. And because he was such a tzaddik and he gave everybody water, his wife became a Neviyah. Now the question is why they went to a Neviyah and not a Navi, because we know that Yirmiyah was Navi at the time. So one opinion says because she was more Rahmanit, she was more of a merciful person because she was a woman. So they wanted to go to someone merciful because they knew they were in hot water. Another opinion is that Yirmiyah was off doing other things like bringing back the 10 tribes. Or maybe he wasn't even in Yerushalayim, he could have been in his home city of Anatot at the time. Okay? So pasuk tetzav, v'tomer alehem ko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael. So she says to them, so says Hashem, God of Israel, imru la'ish asher shalach etchem elai, say to the man who sent you to me. Whether they say she's rebuked for this, for speaking disrespectfully to the king. She says, so says Hashem, God of Israel, say to the man that you sent to me. Let me find you where they rebuke her for it.
She's saying the word of Hashem, why would they rebuke her?
Amar Rav Nachman, lo ya'e hiruta lenashe, tarte nashe yihiran havyan. Chashuvot ayu. Vesanyan shemayhu. Chada shema ziburta devora. Chad shema karkushta chulda. Karkushta chulda ketiba imru la'ish. Velo amra bederach mechubedet yoter imru la'melech. They say her name wasn't nice. Her name doesn't mean something. It means like what, like a type of small animal. So they say it's a negative thing that she didn't say to the king. She said say to the man. She didn't show him enough respect. Okay. Say to the man who sent you to me. Pasuk Tetzayin. Ko amar Adonai, hineni mevi ra'ai lamakom hazeh ve'al yoshevav. So says Hashem, I'm going to bring bad upon this place and upon its inhabitants. Et kol divrei ha'sefer asher kara melech Yuda. Everything that Melech Yuda read, all of the evil things that are going to befall Israel, are going to befall you. Why? Pasuk Tetzayin. Tachat asher azavuni ve'katiru le'lim acherim. And that is all because you've left me and you've worshipped other gods. You've done incense to other gods, leman achiseni, in order to anger me, bechol maaseh yedehem, with all of their actions, v'nitzeta hamati b'makom hazeh v'lo tichbe, and my anger will flare in this place and it will not be extinguished. I'm going to get angry to the extent and it won't be extinguished. V'el melech Yehuda ha-shaleach etchem lidrosh et Adonai kot omru elav, and to the king of Yehuda who sends you to seek out God, so shall you say to him, Ko amar Adonai l'vesel ha-davarim asher shamata. So says Hashem, the matters that you heard, but, meaning Yehuda is going to be punished, and my anger will flare and will not go away, but, pasuk yutet, ya'an rach l'vavicha, but because your heart was soft, v'tikana b'pnei Adonai, and you humbled yourself before Hashem, Yoshia, b'shomacha asher dibarti ala makom hazeh, when listening to what I said about this place, v'al yoshevav liyot l'shamav liklala, about this place turning into desolate and cursed, vatikrat begadecha, and you humbled yourself and you tore your clothes and you're doing teshuvah, vatifkeh lefanai, and you cried before me, vegam anochi shamati numa nora, I have heard. Okay, so all of the things are going to happen, but because you humbled yourself in front of my word and you tore your clothes and now you're humbled and you're trying to do teshuvah, I have heard. Lachen hineni osifecha ala avotecha v'nesavta al kivrotecha. I'm going to bring you. You're going to die peacefully and go to your fathers, and you'll gather to your burial. You have a normal burial. You won't have a burial. You won't be exiled or something in your time. B'shalom, in peace. V'lo tirena aynecha bechol hara'a asher ani mevi'a l'makom hazeh. Your eyes won't see all of the evil that will befall this place. And they brought the matter back to the king. So, ironically, this is another connection between Yoshiah and Chizkiyah. Because they both had, if you remember, Chizkiyah did something. So, Yoshiah, what is she saying to Yoshiah first of all?
Everything that you see in the Torah is going to be true.
Everything is going to be true, but because you were good and you humbled yourself and did teshuvah, you're going to die in peace, right? So the punishment won't befall Am Yisrael in your time. Meaning, although you're doing teshuvah, it's not enough to stop the punishment from coming because my anger is flared and it won't go down. However, it won't fall on you in your time because of your tzidkut. Fine? And apparently Yoshiah just accepts that. I mean, he doesn't accept it. He's going to now go on like a national campaign to get people back to the Torah. Fine. But that's like, that's a good, silver lining for Yoshiah. Now we saw that same silver lining by Chizkiyah. Remember when Chizkiyah, when he got better, he invited all those Babylonians and they came and he showed them all of the wealth of the kingdom and he got very haughty. So the Navi said that they're going to end up plundering everything that you showed them, these Babylonians, and as punishment for your arrogance. But because you've been good to me, it won't happen in your day, it's going to happen in a later time. And Chizkiyah was okay with that, because at least he's going to go to his death in a peaceful way. There is an obvious question that all the Mefarshim bring, which is, we actually know from Divrei HaYamim, that although Yoshiah in the book of Melachim dies a peaceful death and gets buried, in Divrei HaYamim he actually dies in a skirmish, in a battle. He gets shot by arrows and he dies in a battle.
It's saying that even in it happens here also.
Oh, it does happen here?
Check right now.
No, because they keep quoting Divrei HaYamim. Wait, let me see.
Just because it says here.
Wait.
She was in peace only, it says. And so what happened? He died a violent death on the battlefield. It quotes 23, chapter 23.
In Divrei Hayamim.
Pasuk 29. It doesn't say Divrei Hayamim. Maybe they just quoted it
wrong. Oh, wait, let's see.
But I don't, let's see, 29.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, he died on the battlefield. It says it right there.
No, it's in it. You're right. I was wondering why they were quoting Divrei Hayamim. Why are they quoting Divrei Hayamim? He dies in a skirmish with Paro.
Yeah.
So that's the question, right? So Huldah just promises him, because you're very good, you're going to die peacefully in your time. So what does she mean? So she doesn't mean that you're not going to die a warrior's death in battle, right? That's not. She's saying you're not going to die in an exile of your people. And this was a skirmish with Paro that didn't collapse the kingdom. Meaning, you're going to die with your kingdom still intact, right? But you're not going to die.
You're not
going to
see the destruction.
You're not going to see the destruction. So that exactly. That's how the Mefarshim explain it. Yeah. Right? I'm curious why they keep quoting Divrei Hayamim. I didn't realize that he also gets killed in Melachim Bet.
In this art school, they don't.
Yeah, let me find it.
Isn't even in this whole page. It's not quoted at all. It's like
Osificha. Bnei Safta el Kibbutzikol v'alo kativ in Divrei Hayamim lamed hekav gimel v'yaru hamorim lamelech Yoshiyahu, that people shooting arrows hit Yoshiyahu. Ma'u b'shalom shelo charav bet hamikdash v'yamav. He didn't have to see the destruction of the Bet Hamikdash. Not that he's not going to die. He's going to die a peaceful death in his bed.
He said he also had a very grand.
I just don't know why he's quoting
funeral. It says also like a lot of respect shown to him and stuff like that. It says that also, but I don't know if that's going to be in chapter 23 or in Divrei Hayamim.
Okay, very very interesting. Wait, there was one more radak that I wanted to do. No, did we do it all? Yeah, I think we got through it all. Okay, so what do we do today? So we did. They go to Huldah. Huldah basically says that Hashem's anger is going to flare at Yehuda and it won't go away. And all of the things in the Torah are going to befall you. But because you've been humble, Yoshia, you're not going to see the destruction of your kingdom. It's going to happen at a later time. Who was Huldah Hanabiyah? She was the wife of Shalom ben Tikva. According to Chazal, Shalom ben Tikva is a person that comes back to life when Elisha was buried, and he had this zechut of giving water to people that were thirsty, and because of that, his wife got Ruach HaKodesh. Why did they go to Huldah when we know, according to the time period, that Yirmiyah was ready Navi? Unclear, maybe because Yirmiyah was out of Israel trying to bring back the 10 tribes, maybe because he was in his city of Anatot, or maybe because they wanted to go to a woman who would have more Rachmanut on them. And then what does it mean that you're going to die in peace? You're going to die in peace. When we know that both in Melachim Bet and in Divrei Hayamim he dies in battle, it means that you're not going to have to see the destruction of your kingdom. Okay, fine. We'll continue Bezal Hashem. I really want to get to the entirety of chapter 23 in the next 2 days, because then maybe on Friday we need to do extra, because it's going to be the reestablishment of the holiday of Pesach. And I think it's one of the haftarot we read on Pesach. So it would be very interesting if we got up to it. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen v'amen.